Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Father, I want to pray for every person who's here, Lord, that you will strengthen us, Lord, that you will speak to us, that we can hear your voice. Because you are the good shepherd, and you speak and your sheep follow you, Lord. And Father, we pray, and I know it's your heart's desire that every believer must hear your voice, because you want to direct them to paths, Lord, of your blessing, of your goodness, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to help us, to teach us, Lord, to come to that place where we can fully understand your purposes for our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Who of you watched the movie The War Room? I can see if almost all of you. For me, when I watched it, I was crying quite a lot because it really motivated me to want to pray. But what stood out for me in this movie was the fact that there was this family, and to the outside, they looked like the perfect family. They were a husband, wife, he was successful. The daughter seemed that she was doing good in sport, good in school. The wife had a great job, but there was something missing. And that something missing is, you can't put your finger on it, but when you're in the middle of it, you come to a point where you just survive. And this husband and wife, they were just surviving. And you could see there wasn't big things wrong, but as the movie progressed, in the lives of Tony and Elizabeth Jordan, you started to see that there were things that became more important to them. For him, their work, the career, being successful, to be known. For her, she was a career-driven woman, but she realized there's many things that wasn't the way it should have been. She even said that maybe I should have had more children. But she was so focused on her career, she never came to that point where she completely surrendered to what probably was more important in life. And then as the story continued, it started falling apart, and you start seeing that the people are not in a good place at all. And then this man loses his job, and then he almost cheated on his wife, and how the wife comes to a place where she starts praying. And when she starts praying, and how difficult it was for her to start praying. Now, in the beginning of the year, the Lord really spoke to me about the secret place. And every time I read the scripture in Matthew 6, verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut a door and pray to the Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. And that's always like, because I was so focused on getting everyone together to pray at intercession, to get the big group together that we pray. But I was starting to neglect prayer by myself in the secret place. I was spending time in the Word, and I was doing a one-liner, two-liner, 3 minutes praying, but I wasn't praying the way I thought I should have prayed. That I realized now maybe I should have prayed. So then in the last year, God started speaking to me about spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer. And I started getting a book and together, and I thought I'm just going to bring it this morning as well. But in my diary, I put all my struggles and stuff in here, and so that I can go back and see what God has been speaking to me. But also, I put my Bible name there and prayer. And then I time myself to see how long I've done it. So in the beginning, you go like 5 minutes, and it felt like forever, but it was like 3 minutes or something. And then I realized, I'm not spending as much time in the Word as I thought, and I'm definitely not spending as much time praying as I thought. So, and then God gave me the scripture, and omdat ek Afrikaans is, praat hy meestal met my in Afrikaans, maar ek gaan dit gou met julle deel. Bestee jou tyd en energie daaraan om jouself te oefen tot geestelike fiksheid. 1 Timothy 4 verse 7. Use your time and energy to train yourself to spiritual fitness. So I'm starting to realize, oh, God is really speaking to me about this, and I'm starting to grow in the idea of me having to pray more, to spend time with God, to grow in that growth. And then I'm starting to, I got this book from Benny Mostert, and then I started putting down what God has spoken to me in prophecies, things that I have to pray for my wife, and this is my prayer book that I pray through. And if people come to me and they say, look, can you please pray for me, then I put a date there and I put your name in the request, and I pray for you. So normally people will say, sorry for my bed, and you say, yeah, sorry for your bed, and you never pray for him. But now I'm reminded every time, because I work through my book when I pray. So there are times that I just sit in front of the Lord and I'm speaking, and then there's times when I just pray through my book, and at least 2 to 3 times a week that I pray through this. Then all those requests, I pray back and I say, Lord, and I stand on it, and I see as it grows, and when it comes through, I'll put the date down. Glory to God. Thank you for what God has done. So then I watch this movie and I'm like, oh, God is really speaking to me. And I believe he's speaking to the church about becoming a place of prayer. I've got a whole page and a bit for my wife, for my children. And I pray these blessings and things over their lives as well. For the church, for the school, city or Somerset West Strand, for country, for the world, many things that I just pray for, that certain countries that I've adopted and I'm praying for, and I make sure that I continue praying through all of these points that I've written down. And as I grow and I hear God saying things to me or people, and I write it down and I bring it back to God and say, Lord, you have promised me this, and I still stand on that, and I bring it before God. So for the church as well, and for us, and the second point that I'm praying is, Lord, make us a house of prayer for all the nations, because that is what he says, my church will be a house of prayer for all the nations. Help us to do the great commission, to go and make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them to do all that he has commanded us. Help us to do the great commandment, to love you with all our heart and in one another. So I'm praying to be led by the scripture, to be led by the Spirit of God. So these are the type of things that I'm praying through a lot. So I just realized I came to a point, and this scripture came to me quite a while ago. So now normally, and I've been preaching more sermons that is more light. And it's good, because it's great to preach sermons where people can get something out of it for them, for where they are now, and to help them to overcome their struggles. But I'm getting this, and this is more a difficult one, so please bear with me, but it's Revelation 12. Now, we many times, I hear people say, yes, when last have you heard a sermon on repentance? Or when last have you heard, and then you hear people, oh, people just are preaching on repentance. You never hear about grace anymore. So I want to ask you, when last have you heard a sermon on Revelation 12 or any sermon in Revelation? So I'm going to attempt Revelation, which is really difficult. So because there's lots and many people, many ideas. But even yesterday when I looked at it, I came to a fantastic realization. Revelation comes to a point, it talks about the churches, and then it talks about heaven, and then there's these seals. And when I looked at the seals, and it's the first one looks like it can be the Lord Jesus, the second one, war, the third one, finances, the fourth one, sickness, famine, over a fourth of the world, and then persecution, and then this great earthquake. And when I look at this, there's a good chance we are at the fifth seal, where the church is being persecuted. And I'm going, yo, then there is just this one event, and that's a great earthquake that needs to come. And then it talks about the seven trumpets. And I looked at the seven trumpets, and I see later on there's something about seven again. I realized that at Revelation 11, it's finished, and then it started Revelation 12, telling the whole story again to the end. It just tells it from a different angle. So I believe this, as I'm going to share with you, is how God is like a summary of what is going to happen and what is happening and what we are part of in this time, as in the beginning of the world. Any amens? Or are you just, what is he going to say now? So, from this, I realize that we, as believers, have a responsibility to pray. Why? For our protection. Because there is a war, and the war is against us, whether we know it or not. So, I want to take you to Revelation 12, verse 1 and 2. There's a great sign, and a great sign appeared in heaven. And a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant, and she was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Now, I've listened to so many people and so many opinions about what it says. And most of it will say that some say this is the church. Some says, no, this is Israel. I believe this is the people of God, and it started with Israel. In Genesis 37, Joseph had a dream that the sun and the moon will bow before him and 11 stars. So because of that, I believe that that is referring to Israel and God's plan that he had with the people of Israel for the redemption of the world. So God is saying that there's the people that he has chosen, and from the people comes a child is birth pains, is going through pain, and it's in agony, and it's going to give birth. Then verse 3 says, there's another sign that appeared in heaven. And when you read it, you want to think it's going to be chronological order, but I believe it's not. But there's another sign. There's a great sign in heaven, and it's this woman, and then there's another sign. It's not a great sign, it's just another sign. So what I believe God is saying, the great sign is us. The other sign in heaven, behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. And the diadem is not a crown, but it's a symbol of authority that's been given. And it says, his tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. There are people who say this war is about to take place. I personally believe it's taken place, especially because it says it was for the woman who's about to give birth. Some people might think it happened before Jesus was born or in the time when he was crucified. I believe it happened between Genesis 1, verse 1 and verse 2. That there was, but definitely before the fall, because that's why Satan rebelled against God, and he came to deceive Eve so that she could eat of the fruit that she shouldn't eat, so that sin could enter this world. So there was a great dragon, Satan, and there's 7 heads and 10 horns. And it talks about there's a structure or a people coming together, not a structure, but a hierarchy. It's explaining Satan's kingdom and how it works. And there's many questions who it could be. Is it maybe 7 principalities and 10 powers? Or is it 7 countries, 7... it says 7 kings, are they still to come? But in Revelation 17, he talks about the 7 mountains. There's this great prostitute. She's sitting on 7 mountains. And then these are also 7 kings. 5 has fallen, 1 is, and 1 is to come. So there's what I believe, this is just a suggestion of what it could be. It's a probable one, that the 7 heads is Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then the last one to come is Anglo-American. So there's this force behind Satan. He gets kicked out of heaven, and it talks about a tail that goes down and this tail with all the stars that goes down is wanting to devour what God wants to bring forth. And if you look at Moses' life, he was, all the children around Moses died as children. And the same with Jesus. The same happened again. And if we look at what's happening in, with the abortions today, it's almost like the world is wanting to kill the children. And why? What's the reason why there's such an attack on the reason? So let me continue. So now she, in verse 5, she says, she gave birth to a male child, the one who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God and which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. So this male child is born to rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, for us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's the Lord Jesus Christ that's being born to this. Then he gets taken up into heaven. After he was crucified, he goes into heaven, and this woman is being persecuted, and she runs away, and she's being protected for a time. Now, 1,260 days, it's 42 months, it's 3.5 years. And when you read this 1,260 comes up quite a lot in the Word. I don't want to try and explain it away now, but let me continue. Verse 7. Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels were fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. When did this happen? Or is this about to happen? Job, the angel Lucifer, stands in front of God. He says, where have you been? He says, now I've been walking on the earth. And then God speaks to him, and then he leaves God's presence again. I believe then the war had already taken place, but Satan still have access to come to God's presence to accuse us, the believers. So Jesus said himself in Luke, he said, I saw Satan being thrown down like lightning. So then it should have happened before Jesus came to the earth as well. So I really believe this even happened before Adam and Eve was created, and they rebelled against God, and that's why they came after Adam and Eve, after us as people, so hard. Verse 10 says, after they were thrown down, in verse 10 says, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brothers have been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. So all the salvation, all the power of, is God's, the authority of Jesus. He has given us that authority. But this accuser of the brethren was thrown down to the earth. And now the next verse, verse 11 says, and they, which is us, the people, conquered him, conquered, overcame, prevail against him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So there's a war. Satan and this hierarchy that he has that's influencing this world is coming against the people of God. But they conquer him. So there is a struggle. They overcome him. Three things. The blood of the Lamb. What Jesus has done on the cross already. It's not what we do, but it's to understand what he has done on the cross. In other words, he became rejected so that we can be accepted. He became cursed so that we can be blessed. He became wounded so that we can be healed. He was crushed so that we can be whole. He was punished so that we can be forgiven. He died so that we can live. It's done already on the cross. Now, why do we struggle? We struggle because of the word of our testimony, which I believe faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes because of confession that we make. So I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth unto salvation in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. So as I confess, so my faith gets bold. So the accuser comes and he's trying to put a label on me. Sedrach, Mesach, Abednego. He's wanting to give us a Babylon name. In our terms, it's things like loser, and you're not good enough, and you're not going to make it. And those are the type of labels that the accuser comes. But he's got a whole network that's set up so that we, whatever we watch, whatever we do in this world, is going to influence us in a certain way to believe what Satan wants us to believe. Every movie we watch, every magazine we watch, we're getting influenced because I'm trying to compare myself to what the world is giving to me, and I'm feeling not good enough. I'm not going to make it. Oh, this person, he's got so much money. That person is so beautiful. That person is so big. And we all focus so much on ourselves of where we miss it, and we do one thing that we do not do well is we don't look at what God is saying, who we are. So we don't have faith because we believe what Satan is speaking to us to walk into what Jesus has done for us on the cross, the blood of the Lamb. So now we have unbelief because I have fear and anxiety, shame. I feel sin, and we struggle with these things, so we get taken. We get taken out because we don't want to surrender. And then the last one, they love their lives. No, go one back, please. They love their lives even unto for they loved not their lives even unto death. So what I realized is it shouldn't be about dying. Am I going to speak if ISIS person comes and he puts me against the wall. It starts today, every day. It's dying to self. We have to learn to die to self because our own mind is robbed, if I can say it that way. It's so polluted with what the world is telling us. We have to die to our own ideas and our own dreams to come to a place where we trust God completely. That whatever we go through, we can rejoice and say, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life. Because it's not my will, but it's your will that is important to me. And that's difficult because you've got to die to yourself. You come to a point where you cannot do it anymore. You don't understand it. You want to run away. And it's not, nothing is working. My prayers isn't working anymore, but it's because of this combination that I have to die, that I have to die to myself. And even when we die, even when we lose and we do not make it, our faith gets bold. And faith is the currency that I can accept what Jesus has done on the cross. So if I feel rejected, it's because I've not completely accepted what Jesus has done for me on the cross. Because in Him, I'm completely accepted. If I still feel crushed, I haven't received that what He has already done. So I've got to make a choice to live what He has said. Emotional wounding is because I've not understood. I've not had that revelation of what He has done for me. So that is that process of where we come to surrender to the fullness of what God has done for us. Verse 12 says, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Woe to you, earth and sea. Woe to you. And I think this is where most of us are blind. We don't understand that Satan came with great wrath, and it's anger, rage, fury against the people of God. You know, when people say, yeah, but they've, if you are lukewarm, you will not be a threat to Satan, because he's got nothing to, he has no reason to go against you. But when you start wanting to surrender completely to God, that is when you start getting attention. So what must you do? Remain lukewarm? Or are we ready to accept that what the Bible is warning against us, that he knows his time is short, and he's after us because he hates people so much. He hates the people so much. And then the woman in verse 14 says, the woman who was given two wings, and the woman here, I believe it's the church, it's Israel, it's the people of God. I believe it's both here. Because after Jesus, we, by faith, have the promises of Abraham. So we also become the people of Abraham because of our faith in Jesus and what he has done for us. So then it says, the woman who was given two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. Just quickly on that, a time can be a year, times can be 2 years, and half a time, 3.5 years. So this 3.5 year comes out again. The woman is given two wings. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. So this woman is given two wings of a great eagle. It's given God's protection. And God comes and he protects the people against what Satan is wanting to do against them. And he keeps them and he nourishes them. He feeds them. He is there for them in that time when Satan comes with all that he has against us. So there's protection for God's people. And I believe that protection is that place of faith where we walk and in faith in what God has done for us. So now verse 15 says, the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured out from his mouth. So this water that comes from the mouth of this dragon is coming to destroy everything that there is. And then it's almost like the earth opens itself up so that this water can come out. Now, what I believe this water is, it's words. The words that Satan releases against the people of God. And words is ideas, and it's ideologies, and it's ways how we think. Because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He comes to accuse us. He comes to give us thought patterns that is not from God. So as soon as we start thinking differently about what God thinks about us, we become a slave to the way we think. We are as we think. So if I'm not going to make it, I'm not good enough, I'm probably not going to make it. Any athlete that's wanting to do high jump or pole vaulting, if they say, I'm not going to make this today, they will probably not make it. If I'm going to run 21 kilometers and I want to break 90 minutes and I say, I'm not going to do it today, I'm probably not going to do it today. So we are what we think. The way we think is influenced by the way we speak. So what we speak will influence the way we live. But the world is leaving us so many ideas and thoughts and our ideologies that we get influenced by it, that we start believing what the world is saying about who we are. And we're not believing what God is saying who we are, because we're not spending enough time in the truth. Because what Satan is doing, he's the deceiver, he's wanting to take the truth and twist it so that what we believe something different. And that if he can take the truth and he can twist it a little bit, our mind gets corrupted in that way. So I just want to share something that has been on my heart even from last year as well. But the ideologies and thoughts is not coming from yesterday. It's coming for thousands of years already. Lenin, who was the leader of the USSR, said, if you tell a lie long enough to people, they will believe it as the truth. So what has been done against us is we've been hearing lies and we have accepted this as the truth. So we believe about what the world is going to, where we are, who we are. Much of what we believe is really a lie that I believe Satan has brought against us as his people. So even Nicola Sinas, she's doing a doctorate on the influence of Christianity in the community. And she says 50%, and she gave me all the stats, of believers believe there's no literal hell. There's no hell. 50%. The Pentecostal people, the same. It's no different. Because we're not preaching on hell anymore. So I wanted to reply to Nicola that I'll put it right this morning. But even if I'm going to do a sermon on hell, most people will want to leave because it's a terrible place. Hell is terrible. But the Bible is clear that there's a hell and there's a heaven. And there's one or the two. There's not an in-between. There's either heaven in Jesus or hell. But we don't want to say that from the pulpit because people don't want to hear that anymore. And then it's like all that opposition that you get afterwards. So we want to not want to speak about it, but we become in a place where all thing goes because there are many roads, there's many. So the way we think has been distorted a lot. And I watched the DVD, actually two of them, on a documentary. It's called Agenda. This man, Curtis Bauer, he was he's American, living in Idaho. He became a representative for a district in the state Idaho, and he started writing letters to his voters. And he realized, he remembered a meeting that he attended in 1992 on the Communist Party of the United States. And he went there thinking all the people would be young guys with long hair, and all of them were 50, 60, 70-year-olds with suits and ties. And they laid out an agenda on how they were going to take over America. And when he thought back, he thought, yo, how far have they come since 1992? And the same agenda has happened in South Africa as well. I'm not going to go too much into that, but you will probably see as I speak. But he said they were going to infiltrate the American institution, that they can influence people. What they wanted to do was to destroy families, because families was the foundation of civilization. If they can destroy a family, then the moral values of the society will fall, and it will be much easier to influence people the way they think because of the influence that they had on them. So beware, or just what I'm wanting to say, that this thing was against to destroy families. They were talking about a one world order to control people, socialism. Socialism is big government. Government controls everything. And we give to the government and they tell us what we should do. And that is the thing behind socialism. But Lenin said that the reason for socialism is that the communists can come into control. And the communist way of thinking was influenced by Karl Marx. And Karl Marx was influenced by Nietzsche, who said God is dead. Darwin, who the whole evolution thing, that was totally against what God is saying. It was these people, this way of thinking that brought him together. So they wrote these humanist manifestos that has come from 1910, 33, 53, 80, about they had another one. And it's all about us, human rights. What is my right? So we come to a point where a woman has the right to abort a baby because it's about how she feels and not about the life of a child. So this is where the way of thinking. But if a pregnant woman gets killed, it's a double homicide. So it's a double homicide when the person gets murdered, but if the mother then decides she doesn't want it anymore, it's her free will. So something is wrong with the way that we think, and we have been influenced about through many people laying down agendas to us. And what really stood out for me is there was a lady in 1922, her name was Alice Bailey, and she was into spiritism and speaking to demon spirits and all these things, and she wrote many books because of that. The United Nations, she started a trust to publish her books, which was called the Lucis Trust in 1922. Also, it used to be called the Lucifer Trust. So you can see the spirit behind her writings. But the UN in 1945 took her writings to put down a plan to separate church and state, because they believed that the cause of all wars was religion. So if we can take religion away, there will be peace. There will be world peace. So they are selling this to us, world peace. Do what you want. We want world peace. So this is the agenda behind it. But that she, this lady, Alice Bailey, and she was heavily influenced by a lady called Elena Blavatsky, and she was also a Satanist, very dark stuff that she was involved in. But these were the reason why I'm saying is, this is the 10 points that she put out, that the UNICEF Charter, which is for children from the United Nations, put out there long ago. And how far have they come? The first one is remove God and prayer from schools. The second one was reduce parental authority over children. So that's why we're not allowed to spank our children anymore, to take the authority away so the children become rebellious. The third one, destroy Christian families and values. The fourth one, sex must be free so that we can just do whatever we want to, and therefore legalize abortion. The fifth one was divorce must be easy and legal so that people will divorce easily. The children is left without parents, and it releases anger. And children who don't live as sons because they've never been shepherded by a father. So the sixth one was homosexuality must be an alternative lifestyle. The seventh one, degrade art and make it run mad. So the arts, the movies, the music, just influence it with all sorts of occultic stuff. Number eight, use the media to promote and change the mindset. Number nine, create an interfaith movement. Interfaith, so all roads leads to God. And then number 10, government make these laws and the church endorse them. 1922. That's what they've put out there then already. We are being influenced through media, through our education system. You know, I think it was Lenin who said as well, give me a child for 4 years and it will be mine forever. So our children are being influenced to have certain ways of thinking that has been endorsed by an agenda to have control over all of us. This is what the serpent is pouring out, like water, after us. But then God comes and he opens the earth. And there's a supernatural move of God. I really believe he's going to change us. And then I'm just going to go to verse 17, says, Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on this on the sand of the sea. And this is just before the beast gets taken out. So Satan is making war on the people of God, the rest of our offspring, on those who keep the commandments. So if we keep the commandments, we are the rest of our offspring and who hold on to the testimony of Jesus. The Bible says in John, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So I know this is very heavy that I'm sharing to you today. It's extremely heavy. So you're probably going, this is where I'm at as well. But I want to motivate all of us to start looking differently at the Bible, because the Bible is the truth. And the only way that we're going to get separated from this filthy water that's been thrown over us is to allow God to renew our minds, that we start thinking differently about what the world is saying, who we are, about evolution. Because evolution says there's no God. That's behind evolution. So who are we going to believe? Because if millions of years ago, there was nobody anyway, 6,000 years, there was no one anyway, are we going to believe the inspired word of God? Or are we going to believe what some scientists are saying? Because not all scientists are saying it. Only the atheist scientist is giving a mouthpiece, because they are part of the structure for the dragon. But the Christian believer saying God created the world in 6 days, and we have evidence to prove that. But we don't put that out there. People don't want to hear that because they've been so influenced by the ape. You know, I tell this joke a lot, but a little boy comes to his father and says, where do we come from? He says, no, we evolved over millions of years. We used to be apes, and now we are people. And he asks his mom, say, Mom, where do we come from? And she says, no, God created Adam and Eve, and then Noah. But she said, but Mom, Dad said, we evolved from apes millions of years ago. She says, yes, he's talking about his side of the family, and I'm talking about my side of the family. But one of the two, we must choose. Which one are we going to choose? Because it can't be both. If we have apes now, and we have humans here, where's the in-between evidence? Because there is no evidence. There's evolution, microevolution that they call, where birds or animals change a little bit, but they never change species. There's no species, nowhere. No one can give you any evidence of that. And you can ask even a scientist, professor, show me evidence where there's a jump between species. Within the species, there can be changes, definitely. There is evolution, but it's not over. So we start doubting God, we start doubting who we are, we start doubting what God is saying about me, about my promises, about my life, and I can't do this anymore. All this unbelief, all this heaviness, and I'm not good enough anymore. And that's how God, how the devil comes to take us on. I want to finish with this. Ephesians says, I didn't put all the scripture there, but we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. To take up the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and then take out your helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's talking about a position. I have the truth around my waist. I have peace to bring the gospel to people. I am the righteousness of God. I have right standing before God. I have the same right as Jesus Christ to come into the presence of God. I have right standing before God. Why? Because I do good things? No, because of faith. I have the helmet of salvation. I'm saved. It protects my mind, the thoughts that is in my mind. I have a shield of faith to protect me against what the devil and the world is saying against me. You say I'm a loser, but Jesus says, I am a son of God. Hallelujah. And that's the word of God. And that's the position that we stand in. How do we attack? Praying at all times, in the spirit, with all prayer and all supplication. It's prayer. That's the key. We always look at what we should put on, but we don't pray. And I believe God is saying, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. So what I'm wanting to do is, I wanted to shock you so I can just say this. The answer is prayer. When you continue reading, and then it gets dark, it really gets dark, and these beasts will come and deceive many with signs and wonders. And there's this beast that will come from the church, and it will deceive with signs and wonders. Many things will happen, but then it talks about how God is going to bring in the harvest of the earth. There's an outpouring of God's Spirit that we've never seen. Powerful miracles and signs and wonders that will happen. But pray, we will know, God, what is authentic, what is from you, and what is the devil bringing because of the relationship that we have with him. So what I just wanted to pray, just the word pray. Can you just take us to the last slide, please? Pray. My message is this. Ask God if this is for you. If this is not for you, then you can switch off now. But Lord, teach me to pray. It will continue with prayer, but just for pray for now, because I didn't want to put too many. That when we pray, we praise God. We come into His presence by praising God, by declaring who God is. He's the Creator. Lord, you are my healer. You are Almighty God, you are, and we come into His presence by praising Him, by telling Him how great He is. Not by, oh, ek is a sucker nie, by saying, God, you are Almighty. Because in that, our faith is being built. When you understand who God is through who He says in the Word He is, your faith gets built. Because He's the healer, He's the deliverer, He's the one that blesses us with all spiritual blessings from heaven. He is the mighty God. So He's that God. We praise Him. And as we learn, and this is what I've done. I've written all the names of God in my book. This is in Afrikaans. Ons regeerder, die allerhoogste, die barmhartige en genadige God, die bron van alle standvastigheid en bemoediging, die levende God, die ek is. And as you go through that, and it goes on, and then all the names for Jesus and all the names for the Holy Spirit, by the time I'm finished 3 years, I'm like walking on clouds because God is there. Because I've declared and I've brought Him into my presence. And then be quiet. Say, God, if there's any sin that I need to repent of, and just be quiet. And then you'll go, okay, there's something. Ach, Here, forgive me. Just forgive me for that. Lord, is there anyone that I must forgive? And if there's nothing, then you don't do anything. But if there's a, oh, Lord, please forgive me. And if you have to make restitutions, then we do that. And then acceptance. And this is the important one for us as believers. We do not understand who we are in Christ. Therefore, we don't have the faith to declare and to pray what God is wanting to do to us. Want God hou nie van my nie. Dis hoekom alles verkeerd loop in my lewe. I'm not good enough. So now I'm praying in doubt. And because I'm praying in doubt, it doesn't come through. But He says, if you believe, if you ask me, believe that I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me, but don't doubt. In Hebrews, it says that. So when I pray, it says, Lord, thank you that we are loved by God the Father, that we were purchased at a steep price, that we are justified and declared innocent. Lord, thank you that we are entitled to a clean conscience. Lord, thank you that our sins are no longer part of us. Lord, thank you that we have peace with you. Thank you that we are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. Thank you that we are made new in Christ, born again. Thank you that we are seated in Christ. We have a position in you, that I'm a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. When we start speaking that over ourselves, the thoughts of loser and I'm not good enough starts getting less and less, because that's not what God is saying. He says, I'm a child. I'm made in His image. I'm wonderfully made. Now I start understanding what He has done for me. So my faith gets bold because what God is saying about who we are. So that is acceptance. And pray that over yourself as often as you can, declaring. When we do deliverance, the one thing that I realized is people's identity of who they are in Christ is many times holding us into captivity to Satan. And that's what He wants to do. He wants our minds so that we can think the way He wants us to think and not how God thinks over us. So the one prayer that I prayed, Lord, show me what Your dreams is for me. Show me what Your dreams is for Lynette, for Daniel, for Christian. Lord, I pray that You'll anoint me, anoint us to do that what You have called us to do. So not what I want. I don't want to be this. I want what He wants me to do. And then the fourth one, the praise to yield. Lord, let Your will be done. It's a place of trusting God and not trusting me or the person I work for, or not trusting my family or my father. Is trusting God. Not to put my trust in man, but to put my trust in God, because then we are blessed. But it's difficult. You cannot do it in your own strength. You can only do it because we confess it. Because as you're confessing it, your heart starts changing. And that is by prayer. So I'm going to ask the ushers to hand out the communion. And I just want to finish off with a clip from the war room. You can see this lady has prayed. Even the actor, she's a praying lady. So,
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and You are mighty and You are merciful. And You keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise You, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who You want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon Your name. Raise up those that love You and seek You and trust You. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm. And will stand on Your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love You. I pray that You open their eyes so that they can see Your truth, Lord. I pray for Your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship You with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim You King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
As we just continue, I just want to encourage you om KWV te begin drink. Maak het sommer 10 jaar oud. Ons moet 'n keuse maak. Ons het 'n verantwoordelikheid en ons het 'n keuse, ons het 'n verantwoordelikheid en ons het 'n verantwoordelikheid. We have a choice. Ons het 'n keuse, ons het 'n wil en ons het 'n verantwoordelikheid. We have a choice, we have will and we have a responsibility. When anyone accuses us or speak to us, it comes from our identity. Because when it steals the identity, it brings us into bondage. It makes us powerless. It takes away our authority. So we have to make a choice. Ons moet 'n keuse maak. Satan, jy gaan nie vir my dit sê nie. Ek is 'n oorkomer. God is my voorsiener. My kind sal gesond word. Ons sal oorkom. Die Here is goed. My kinders sal die Here dien, want dis wat hy in sy woord sê. We've got to make a choice. We make a choice for God. Lord, this town will be saved. This school will be saved in the name of Jesus. I make that choice, but I choose to believe what God is saying to me. Then we have a verantwoordelikheid, we have a responsibility, we have a will. Our will is influenced by our soul. Our soul gets weakened because of this is what the agenda is wanting to do, is to weaken our soul with our the way we think, the way we do, the morals that we have. Our moral values have fallen completely because we're so self-focused. So then when we speak the words of God, our will gets strong. And then we have a responsibility to God because he's saying that, he's telling us that is what we have to do. So that we don't listen to what Satan is saying anymore, but that we can understand that the finished work of the cross applies to each one of us because he loved us first. He's done it all. He's done it already on the cross. We must walk into what he's done. So we come before the cross, then we enter through the cross, but then we sit in heavenly places and we declare and speak and we have the confidence to speak to God because of what Jesus has done. Now, there's no doubt or weakness of I'm not good enough. There is faith, and that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, confessing who he is, confessing who he says I am, praying to God, getting bold because I'm spending time with him. Father, thank you that we can have communion and be remembered of what you've done for us on the cross. Lord, your word says those who persevere and endure will have victory. God, help us. Give us the grace, give us the faith to persevere in difficult times for all of us, Lord. Everyone is going through tough times. But Lord, I pray that you will pour out your spirit upon us, Lord, as a church, to teach us, to learn us, to start praying, God, to surrendering to you, to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. That we can walk according to the word, being led by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Thank you that we can be part of a church, Lord. That we are part of the body of Christ, Lord. Thank you that each one of us are members of this body, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, that you will strengthen all of us, God. And that you will bless us. And we thank you that you are the head of this church, Lord. And thank you that the gates of hell will not prevail because you are building your church, Lord. And we thank you that you are good in every way, Lord. And that even though whatever this the dragon did, you always came through in supernatural ways, Lord. And we trust you, Lord. We trust that you will protect us, that you will guide us, that you will walk with us, that you will lead us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to help others to come to you, Lord. Help us to show the way, the good news, Lord, that more people will come to you, Lord. And Lord, I really believe it will change the spiritual atmosphere, Lord, as more and more people come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you that we are part of the body of Christ. Let's eat. Lord, your word says that we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb what you've done for us on the cross, Lord. By your stripes we are healed. Thank you, Lord, that we can accept that what you've done for us, for me, for each one of us, Lord. You died for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that there's a new covenant that I belong to, that I'm part of, because of our faith, because we believe to you, in you, Lord. Thank you that there's power, there's authority, Lord. There's covering, there's love, there's peace, there's joy in you. That we are the righteousness of God, Lord. Help us, strengthen us, Lord. Help us as a family, Lord. And help us, Lord, to not surrender and resist our will, your will, where we're trying to enforce our will on you, Lord. But help us to surrender all of that, that we can walk and surrender to you, in the name of Jesus. Let's drink. If there's anyone who are struggling and you need prayer, you're more than welcome to come and pray. We want to pray with you. For the rest, I'm not saying do anything with what I'm saying, but if God is speaking to you and you feel, I need to start praying, just go to God and say, Lord, how must I do this? So we can read books and all of that, but it's really by God's grace, by His strength, that we learn how to pray. And praying, the outflow of that will be, things will happen. But when we say, do this, many people feel, you are forcing me, I must do this. But when you hear it from God, it's, wow, this is exciting because God is in that. When we pray, lives change. When we start praying for your husband, for your wife, and you really intercede for them, and they start changing, there's nothing better. It's amazing because you see, wow, God is good. And the more you pray and the more you start seeing how God is coming through and how He speaks to you. Because when I pray, there's many times that I just quiet and I say, Lord, speak to me. And sometimes like you get nothing. But sometimes, like yesterday, He speaks to me and I write it in red in my book. And afterwards, I'm like, wow, that was amazing. And we grow and we grow and we grow because of what I believe God is wanting to do is. And when you read the New Testament, see how much they talk about prayer. Even Jesus says, couldn't you not pray for 1 hour with me? You know, 1 hour. So I'm just seeing God is really speaking to me about prayer. Maybe it's only me. Maybe it's some of you. I'm trusting that there's one or two of you that wanna start praying, that pray for families, for who we are, where we're going. And I trust that God will bless you in the walk with God, and where He's wanting to take us to. Amen. I just want to finish. Lord, thank you for this morning. We want to bless you. Thank you for looking after us, after our children, Lord. We pray that you'll bless this church. I'll ask it especially for Anton and Heinrich, Lord, and I think Hercules is there as well, Lord, that you will bless them, that you'll protect them, and Richard, Lord, that you'll protect Shofar Church, God, as a group, the leadership, Lord. We ask your blessing upon us, Lord. We pray for the families in these churches, Lord. We ask your protection, God. We ask that you will lead us, Lord, back to a living relationship with you again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. We'll see you next week. Amen.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.